Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer in New York City. I'm sitting here at my bright red desk. It's a beautiful 75 degrees out. It's the Puerto Rican Day Parade, so we're having parties here in New York. And Max and Handsome and Remo have all been fed, so hopefully they'll be well-behaved while I'm doing the radio show. Of course, we can always rely on Handsome to stop by and cause a little trouble. But he's a little mad at me right now because I don't bathe them, but because I have people come to the house and on occasion people are allergic, I take a washcloth and kind of wash his fur with it, you know, just wet it down because actually people are technically allergic to cat saliva. That's where the dander comes from. And I'd been away for a couple weeks on vacation, so he hadn't had a little washcloth experience in a while. So I kind of cornered him in the bathroom earlier, and he was not happy. I think he thought he was getting off with no more washcloth, but no, we're getting back into our routine. I will say I've had a lot of reentry trouble this week, getting back into it. I realized I had not taken a vacation. I mean, I go to Florida and visit my parents and, you know, my sister and family, but I haven't actually gone away and not worked, probably since 2001 when I started doing the astrology full-time. So it was really, you know, like take, and I mean, it was an astrology conference, so it was learning stuff, but it was like, I'm just like really unharnessed and I want to play. I don't want to go back to work. So I'm here. I'm doing the broad show. I started on the column. My friend Marianne said to me, oh, yeah, I noticed you've been milking this vacation thing a little bit. I said, I have. I'm having trouble. And I think what it is we're starting to feel the shift. And I have to say, I've been reporting and listening to people talk to me over the last couple weeks, last week or so since I've been back, and everybody's reporting, it feels a little different. I'm not 100% sure what I'm doing, but it feels a little different. So we're going to talk about that, because we had some stuff last week that was pretty big. We had the eclipse, which brought up the story from December of 2010 and the story from last September. And we had Neptune stationing going retrograde, and we had the occultation of Venus, which happens once every 256 years. The next one will be in 2117, and hopefully you got to see that somewhere on planet Earth. My friend Ivar in Greenland mailed me pictures of his vision, you know, watching it with a little Venus running across the sun. Here in New York, when I went to look, it was foggy, so I didn't see it, but I was there in spirit. And my friend Noreen often talks about when you see these things, they really do have a different impact on you. You kind of have a sense of a different energy. My friend Barbara, when the sun cleared, she hopped in the car and drove down to the garages in Princeton where they were doing the astronomy on the roof, and she got to see it. So it's kind of cool. Hopefully you did get to see it. If you didn't, go look at it on the internet. It's very rare. And what it is Venus and the sun, you know, they do meet a couple times a year when Venus goes retrograde and when she goes direct. And she's shifting now from being in, where she's been an evening star where you could see her when she set. She's going to become a morning star in a few days, and which means at sunrise you'll be able to see her appear in the heavens. And she will be showing up on the 13th back. She'll return from her journey in the underworld. And you'll be able to see Jupiter in the morning sky. and don't confuse Jupiter and Venus, because Venus is brighter. And in the evening sky now, if you're looking, you can see Mercury, you can see Mars and Saturn out there after the sun goes down. So what we're going to do this week is we're going to talk about the buildup. Now, because we had the eclipses, they're over. They've brought information to surface. We're seeing things we hadn't seen before. We're aware of things we weren't aware of before. We had the eclipses. We had the Neptune station. We're ready now. Now, Venus occultation, remember, Saturn is in the sign of Libra, the sign ruled by Venus. So now Saturn is at the degree of his station. He's going to be at 22, 23, all of May, all of June, all of July. But he's slowing down now, and he's going to be parking and stopping on his degree point, which is his actual station is on June 25th. But he's there. Okay, for all intents and purposes, we're in the Saturn station feeling, because he's on the degree, and he really kind of spends a while on it, grinding in, bringing up the story from last November, bringing up the story for all of us about what we want to do around relationships. Because part of what this story is with Saturn stopping in the sign of relationships is the universe is asking us, what are our relationship needs? What do we want? What's our purpose? So our job when we're dealing with these transits, and I often encourage people when they're having a hard time or when they're working on stuff, you know, especially if it's a difficult transit, is to kind of sit and talk to the planet involved. And I think we forget, you know, a lot of times we think of Saturn as that mean guy out there, or we think of Venus as, you know, some beloved that we never could get when we were younger, or Mars as, you know, other people can do it, but I can't. But we all have every planet in our chart. And a lot of times we forget there are planets. And sometimes when that happens, we give them to other people, and they do them for us. Meaning they are our planet. They become the energy. So I was talking to a woman today, and I said, blah, 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 about the relationships. And she says, well, you just described my two ex-husbands. And I'm like, well, okay, but that's your planet. And so the ex-husbands had come in and had done the planet for her, but it actually was hers. It was her energy that she left it on the table. Someone came in and used it and put it up, picked it up and did it. So we forget that these are our planets, that they are here in our charts to teach us a lesson, to help us figure out what we're really trying to accomplish. So I want you to think about the area of your life that you're having a little trouble with right now. And it probably is involved with Saturn, because Saturn usually causes a little trouble. He's where he's asking you to be a little more disciplined, a little more rigid, a little more, you know, structured and paying attention and doing what you're supposed to do. I mean, I know that I'm having that because Saturn's squaring my go-to-work planets, and I'm like, I don't want to go back to work. I want to play some more. So it's like, okay, well, let's figure out the structure for him. Let's figure out how we can get him, entice him back into the fold. What is the story that's going on? Why is it you don't want to do it? Why are you feeling reluctant? Why are you feeling pushed? Talk to him. Ask him to give you some guidance. He's not there to be the mean bad guy. He's there to help you figure out how to build the structure of your life in the case of Saturn. If you're having some power struggles, you're having a Pluto transit. I was talking to somebody earlier today who's having a Pluto transit. And, you know, a married guy came, talked to her, knocked on her door, said hi. She went, ooh. And then, you know, Pluto. The opportunity. But then she's like, no, I don't really want that. It's understanding. Well, it's not there to tempt you for no reason. It's there to help you understand what temptation is. It's there to help you understand what power and dynamics and triangles are about, because Pluto always, when he shows up, he brings us this energy. Uranus, breaking free, the area of your chart where you want to run away and join the circus, where you feel like you don't want to follow the rules, you don't want to do anything anymore. I don't want a section. Whatever's going on with Uranus, it's like, okay, let me restructure, let me revisit, let me cause a little chaos in that area. You don't actually necessarily want to divorce the husband or the wife. What you want to divorce is that part of you that is stuck and stagnant and unable to grow. And what you've done is you've said the partner is the reason I can't grow. The partner is the reason I can't change. It's not about the person. It's about you and what they represent in your life. You can certainly go and do things differently. You can certainly change. But a lot of people go, well, you know, if they'd change, then I could do it. It's like, no, 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 no. Your chart, you have to change. But the Uranus is, and if I divorce them, well, no, you don't really have to divorce them. What you have to do is change your relationship. Explode, explore, be more creative, be more resonant, be more expansive. All the Uranus words, be chaotic, be wild and crazy. What would happen if you were wild and crazy? Oh, they wouldn't like that very much. Right. Who is it that really doesn't like that very much? Well, it's not just my partner, but, you know, everybody in the town. And it's like, it suddenly, but you want to be wild and crazy. And Uranus is inviting that. So for us to fully embody our charts, for us to fully be who we're supposed to be, we have to be very clear how we're using each of our planets. I had a student here earlier, and she said she'd gone to the conference in New Orleans, and she goes, I realize that the whole chart is my blueprint. And I'm like, yes, it is. The whole chart, not just the parts we like, and not just the parts that we don't like, that we suffer with, but the whole chart, the entire gestalt energy of your chart is your blueprint. And you look at each of those planets, and they all have a way that they like to behave by sign and by house. They all have a desire to do something. They all have a desire to be something. And right now, the planets in the sky all have a desire to do and be something and to show up in the world in some way so that we all can look around and say, oh, my God, there's Venus in Gemini. Oh, my God, there's Mars. There's Saturn in Libra. So Venus in Gemini, right? Uranus squares Pluto, and Saturn stationing, right? So I get an email from one of my students who says the turtles are getting divorced, okay? And apparently the turtles in the zoo, who have been together for 100, they're 138 years old, or however old they are, they're very old turtles, they're very old, and they are not happy. They're unhappy with their relationship. And so apparently the female turtle bit off a piece of the male turtle's shell. And so after 115 years of being together, now remember the next Venus occultation is 105 years from now. You're here in Venus, right? You can't say they didn't try. After an impressive 115 years together, two giant turtles at the Austrian Zoo are refusing to share their cage. We get the feeling they can't stand the sight of each other, said Helga Happ, the director of the zoo, where the turtles Bibi the female and Poldi the male have lived for the last 36 years. Before that, they called Basel Zoo in Switzerland home. According to the paper, zoo staff realized something was amiss when Bibi bit off a chunk of her partner's shell. When the attacks continued, Poldi was moved to another cage. Animal experts even attempted couples counseling, feeding the turtles aphrodisiacs, encouraging them to play games together, but so far efforts have failed to bring the shelled lovers back together. Turtles aren't the only members of the animal kingdom known to divorce their partners. Studies have shown that some birds who made it successfully with a partner 1 year have divorced and moved on with another partner in successive years. So here we have lovely, lovely Venus causing problems as she occults, and the turtles are getting a divorce. If turtles can do it and change and bite a piece of the shell off, I kind of thought that was really pretty cute. Obviously, she's really annoyed with him. But it's understanding. We all are being asked to change. We're all being asked to experience our charts. Now, as we go towards this next couple of weeks, lots and lots and lots and lots of stuff is going to be going on for a few reasons. One, Jupiter's going to change his sign and go into Gemini. Two, Uranus and Pluto are squaring each other. People are going to be exceptionally volatile. Planets that you have at the degree of 8 are going to be exceptionally volatile and a little out of control. Saturn is stopping, so he is going to be grinding in and saying, pay attention, pay attention, pay attention. Neptune is going to be going backwards. He's squaring the nodes of fate. So it can feel a little unclear, but it wants you to pick a vision. And it doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to have it fully formed. You just have to commit to something. And, of course, the nodes are moving backwards, backwards at the last degrees of Gemini, waking it up and pushing each of us to expand our ideas and who we are. And your job with all this energy is just to know that your chart is unfolding exactly as it should. Go for the higher form of the energy and the planets. Take that Mars and Virgo organized stuff. Get things together. Get things structured. Get things figured out. Clean up the piles. Take the Saturn in Libra. Connect to the people that you really miss. Tell the people that you love them. Partner with people that you really want to reconnect with. Take that Pluto and in Capricorn and explore power, understand what power dynamics are, understand your own power, understand your own Pluto. Get reacquainted with your chart. Form a new relationship with it, as Saturn in Libra is wont to ask us to do. Because really, your chart is your vehicle for moseying through the world this lifetime. So the more you know it and the more you understand all its parts, and you go, oh no, you're taking my Jupiter, I want my Jupiter back. You don't get my Jupiter. And you take your Jupiter back and you expand that Jupiter in Taurus and have a good time with it. The more you do that, the easier your life is, because you're really living and driving all your chart. You're in charge. Now, right now, the chart's kind of all scattered. The heavens are all scattered. There's what we call a splay up there. And there's also a falling apart, but it's still in place a little bit. There's a T-square, but there's the mutable squares kind of separating, which is good. Crosses separating. So the moon this week goes into, it's in Pisces right now, and it goes into, it's void all day tomorrow. Monday's all void. Goes into Aries on Tuesday and Wednesday with a lovely closing aspect. So Tuesday, Wednesday, kick butt days. Flag day on Thursday, moon's in Taurus in the middle of the afternoon, 12:20, and it's in Taurus on Friday, and the closing aspect is a trine to Mars, bright and early. Moon is void on Saturday the 16th, and then it goes into Gemini bright and early on the 17th, Father's Day. And in Gemini, it is a nice aspect of a conjunction to the sun. So it's actually a really productive week for getting a lot accomplished as far as the emotional nature. And the moon is moving through houses 1, 2, and 3, Aries, Taurus, and Gemini on the Anima Mundi chart. But in your own chart, it's moving through the me, myself, and I. What's of value to me, and what do I learn? What did I have to learn how to share or communicate or talk about? Because the Gemini house is a communication house. The sun is in Gemini, rolling along from 22 to 26 Gemini, chatting away. He does have an aspect of declination with Juno, with the nodes of fate on the 15th, offering a choice. Now, we've been having a lot of aspects with the nodes lately. When we're having major turning points in our life, which is what this time is, we are asked very often, are you sure? Are you sure? Really? And so the nodes are highly active because they're really talking to our purpose and our point for being here. And remember, when the sun's in Gemini, you can hedge your bets and say you want to do both things. You don't have to pick. You can really say, how about both? I'll take two desserts, or I'll try that. You don't have to eat it all, but you can take them. And give yourself permission to do it. Mercury is moving reasonably quickly. He's going from 8 degrees of Cancer to 18 degrees of Cancer, so he's kind of zipping along. Now, because he's in a water sign, he's not so communicative. He's got a deeply feeling nature right now, and he also is making everything a little more emotionally sensitive because he's ruling the Sun and Venus and the South Node, and of course, they're all answering to him in emotions. So when he moves from one sign to the other, like right now he's in Pisces, so everybody's a little emotional. Next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, he gets very charge, and then he gets more fixed when he moves into Taurus on Thursday and Friday, and then he's very communicative and chatty and lots of good info on Saturday and Sunday. When he's in Taurus, he's communicative and good info. And then on Sunday when he's in Gemini, he's very positive. So we've got a lot of shifting when the moon changes, that Mercury changes. And emotionally, we'll feel a little bit like we're on a roller coaster because of all these shifts. Mercury is making many aspects this week because he's talking to Pluto. He's talking to Chiron. He's talking to Venus. He's talking to Neptune. He's talking to Jupiter. He kind of, because he's moving so quickly, and he's in Cancer, he's carrying the emotional story that we're trying to work out. And one of the things he's going to do as he moves into Cancer, he's going to come to square the Venus, and he's going to talk to it, or come to square the Saturn and talk to it. That's next week. But this week he's kind of talking, he's kind of doing a pulse, he's doing a survey. And, often when we do surveys, we ask people, well, what do you think? Or how's that working for you? Or how would you improve it? So Mercury in Cancer is very much about the survey, about understanding how do you feel about that. So if someone asks you that this week, make sure to give them information because they really do genuinely want to know. You can get some shocking news on June 11th. Shocking and not good news, because Mercury is squaring Uranus and opposite Pluto. So people can really, there can be news that you kind of find, wow, I didn't anticipate that would be what would happen. And if that happens, understand that the person really needed to leave or really needed to tell you that. It's an important energy, you know. And in my world, a friend of mine recent Friday got diagnosed with fairly advanced lung cancer that has spread to quite a few parts of her body. And Mercury, you know, the news, and it's understanding that when Mercury comes to Uranus Pluto, we often find out something that was perhaps shocking that we didn't anticipate or didn't see or didn't really know. But we need to know it, and so that's part of the story here too, is owning, understanding that not all news is good, but at the same time, we need to hear it, because then we can make plans, then we can make our decisions. So Venus goes from 12 Gemini backwards. She's moving backwards still, right, through 9, and she's slowing down because she's getting ready to station in a couple of weeks. So she's going pretty pokey. She does have a square to Chiron on the 16th, so she can be a little teary then on Saturday. Mars is moving from 1920 Virgo. He's, you know, at 18 now, kind of moving forward. He has arguments this week with Uranus and Pluto on the 14th and the 16th about direction. He also says goodbye to something on the 13th. And he's, you know, he's traveling. Remember, he's been in Virgo, really, since November. So he is now beginning of January, when he was last at 18. And he's moving forward to clear his shadow, which he does in a couple of days, when he gets to 23, next week. And then he moves forward. So he stationed that last week in January, 23rd of January, he's stationed to go retrograde. So he's kind of coming up, he's in January, he's in, you know, late December, early January time frame, stirring up the story from then. And then Jupiter enters Gemini, ta-da, ta-da, ta-da. That happens on the 11th, which is good news. That's tomorrow, Monday. However, Gemini is not a sign Jupiter likes to be in, because he's kind of big picture guy. And Gemini makes us focus on the details. Now, the Gemini house in your chart is going to expand, get fat, be happy, have a lot of stuff in it. So look at whatever Gemini rules and whatever houses Gemini rule and expand that house. That house is going to take off. And maybe it's going to be feeling a little Jupiterian, a little overdone, a little bigger than normal, a little too much. And that's Jupiter. We love him because he does make everything big and fat and fun. We don't like him because he makes everything big and fat and fun at the same time. So we want to talk to Jupiter and really chat with him, because he does shift, and he shifts at 1:22 tomorrow afternoon Eastern time. So sit down and talk to Jupiter. He is starting a new 12-year cycle in the Gemini house in your chart. So he's going to say to you, so, like, what are we doing here? And your job is to say to Jupiter, well, this is the plan, because he does like big-picture plans. Now, when he's in Gemini, he's a little more fussy and picky, and, of course, he's answering to that Mercury in Cancer. So you might feel he's a little more emotional than he normally is, but he really does want to improve the situation, or he's a little more perhaps critical than normal, because Jupiter just kind of does big picture, and he goes, yes, yes, and he's kind of like Santa Claus. He promises you toys. Your parents are the one, well, I shouldn't say that. Santa's responsible for promising you presents, and then he brings them to you sometimes, not always. Took that parent part back. For the smaller listeners, not that I think I have youngsters out there, we also are having Chiron stationing this week. Now, Chiron's in Pisces. So lately, a lot of people have been having feet problems or swollen feet or ankles or cartilage. I mean, had a lot of bunion surgeries in my practice. But Chiron stations, he's stationing at 9, and he's going to go backwards until Scorpio time, till we get back to water, till November. And he's, you know, he's following Mercury or following Neptune. So when he stations, very often there is a stirring of the wound. there is a stirring of the woundedness in each of us. Now, we all have a wound. It's just the way we're wired. It's just we all have Chiron somewhere in our chart. We all have Saturn. We all have Pluto. We all have Uranus. We have the big boys, and they usually cause a little trouble somewhere in our life at some point. When Chiron stations in Pisces, what he wants to talk to you about is understanding the deeper purpose, the emotional, the spiritual purpose. So whenever this stops, you know, we have a few days of it stopping, and you can find your extra emotional, because Pisces is highly emotional, and Chiron stopping in Pisces is emotional, and you can find you're going to be bursting into tears for no apparent reason. Totally cool. We got Mercury in water. We got Chiron in water. The gang is, you know, is sensitive, emotionally sensitive, and that's the way it is. And your job is to say, I get it. I'm emotionally sensitive right now. The whole world is. So just be kind. Vesta has a biquintile aspect to Zeus. So that's a good one. That one can get a lot organized. Now, biquintiles, we don't talk about them a whole lot on the chart, on the show, but what they are is they're gifts of brilliance. So you're going to have a gift of brilliance on the 14th about a direction to proceed. That's on Thursday. That's when the moon's in Taurus. And so pay attention on Flag Day to the great idea that comes out of your brain and says, ooh, ooh, let's do it, let's do it, because that's the biquintile energy often is a gift of brilliance or competency or ideas, and you should definitely pursue it and try it. We also have Ceres on Admetos on the 17th, so some kind of nurturing ends. Now, this can be if you've, you know, we're in the eclipse period. We're still in eclipses for another week and a half. When we're in eclipses, a lot of people that are hanging on by the edge take off or don't want to be here anymore. And they go, okay, I can't take the energy. I have to leave. Eclipses also reveal things to us. They reveal things about endings and changes because one of the lights goes away. It's very unnormal for lights to not be there, for both of them not to be there. When one goes away, we go, ooh, light went away. Ooh, that's a little scary. Now we know how they happen and we know what they do, but emotionally our internal body is really deeply processing, and Ceres coming to Admetos says there's the end of nurturing. The responsibility of taking care of is coming to an end or coming to a conclusion. So watch for that on the 17th, where you're set free on some level. Or the nurturing principle says to you, you don't have to do that anymore. It's okay. And give that permission to move. Ceres is also opposite Juno right now. She just opposed Juno this week. I know I didn't write the column this week because I was a bad girl. But the opposition is about partnering. I don't want to nurture the partnership anymore. So look at the partnerships. And I mean all kinds. It doesn't have to be a partnership with a person. It can be a partnership with a food object. I don't want to nurture that partnership anymore. I don't want to feed any more energy into it. There's a separating energy asking us to explore, expand, try other ways of nurturing and caring for ourselves. So explore those ways. Explore the dietary changes. Explore the emotional exchanges where the part of you that partnered because you felt you had to, because you were told to, because it was part of your job, and you don't want to really do it anymore. And the other part is when you say, I don't want to do it anymore, sometimes you go, well, what am I going to do instead? Don't worry about that part. That part, we get a new answer really soon. So if you say, I don't really want to do this anymore, I want to put it down, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, that's all part of this energy. That's the eclipse unwinds. There can be a huge exhaustion. So honor yourself and take care of yourself. We also have a health aspect on the 13th as Hygieia squares the nodes of fate, where you're going to be asked to make a choice about health matters or about directional matters. Choose wisely. Choose towards your greater good. Choose towards the vision of the life you want to have. And on that side note, the British lady has been whispering in my ear that it's almost the end of the show, and we're going to hang up and go off and live our life. I'm going to go off and write the column. You're going to go off and do whatever you do. And we're going to have a good week. And we're going to have a week of new exciting things, because in 2 weeks, next week, not this week, the week after, the week of the 24th, huge changes take place. But this week, with Chiron stationing and Jupiter changing signs, you know, big shifts, starting a new chapter. Get ready. Here it comes. You're going to have a great time. Focus on all those planets in your chart that need attention. Remember, they're your planets. They're not somebody else's. Take care. This is Ann Ortley signing off. Have a great week. Bye.